new version of Fab's Auto Backup is out just for technicians. This thing will blow you away, save you a ton of time. Check it out at podnuts.com/Fabs, F-A-B-S. Welcome to Podnuts Daily, episode number 320. I haven't done this show for a while. Yes, you're hearing my voice. This is Steve C. again. And this is Podnuts Daily, episode number 320. This is the show where computer repair technicians come on the show, give you guys tips, tricks, techniques, all kinds of good stuff to help you become better techs yourselves. You may have become accustomed, yes, in the last four or five shows to hearing Tim Kelly's voice. And just like with Linux for the rest of us and a couple of the other guys who've been doing shows on the Podnuts Network, really have helped me out. I needed a break just to just sit back and chill for a little bit and take a step back and catch my breath, you could say. And these guys have filled in for me brilliantly, and I mean that. And I'm really happy they did what they did. But I'm going to be coming back on as host, and I hope that's okay with all you guys. So sorry for the changes. We're going back and forth with different shows, but I'm coming back. So I will be your host on Podnuts Daily for the who knows how far into the future. So that's what's going on now. Thank you very, very much, Tim. I can't thank you enough, man. You are truly the man. All right. Now let's introduce the guest who's going to be on our show today, the technician who's going to bring the goods, Jacob Hasty from CompHQ.net. What's up, Jacob?
Hey, and first time on here, and I've got Steve's reassuring voice to make the whole process go well, hopefully.
It is going well currently. It's already done. Yeah, Jacob, I have no doubt that you're going to just do awesome on the show. So, what we were talking about actually before the show is where Jacob lives. Check out this map. He is up in Ketchikan, Alaska, which is an island in the it's actually the southern part of Alaska, but if I zoom in on Google, there still is a lot of white there. It's cold. White means cold. And I get chills just looking at this map. But it's a pretty cool place. It's on this island, right on the edge there. You said you could take a rowboat to Vancouver. Is that you could take a rowboat to Canada, right?
Yeah, pretty close. Pretty darn close.
That's awesome. So how is it like up there? You said it rains a lot.
It's nice. Super wet. Yes. But the community is great. One of those towns you know the person across the street or the person you're walking with does. Just tiny place.
Yeah. Do you feel Canadian up there? I'm just curious.
I don't think so. Okay. I don't know how that would feel, but no. And it's surprisingly not a lot of Canadians really come here.
Uh-huh.
So, man, I don't know.
Okay.
I like the Canadian people, even though they do have French with them.
do your immediate Canadians, they speak French or English or both?
No, they don't.
Okay.
No, I've not heard anyone speak a lick of French here.
Okay. All right, that's awesome. All right, well, tell us about your business, your computer repair business, CompHQ. Wait, let me pull it back up. CompHQ.net. And tell us a little bit about that to start us off.
Yep, Computer HQ. We started about 2 years ago. We being me, Jacob Hasty, and my friend, my best friend, Kyle Quinn. We've been doing it long enough, helping people primarily at our church, and we are tired of not getting paid well for it. So, and that seems to be how a lot of people's computer repair shops start up. They want to get some money. So we started this up, and it's definitely been an adventure.
Really? Oh, you got to tell us about that. I think that is how a lot of techs start out. You do jobs for fixing for friends and family, and then you're like, wait a minute, I'm doing a lot of work here. Shouldn't I get paid for this? So how's the business going?
It's going pretty good. Summer is a really good time here in Ketchikan. It's a extremely touristy-driven town.
Okay.
We get 5 or 6 cruise ships a day sometimes coming in here, and they unload on our tiny little downtown, which is primarily jewelry stores and knickknacks, but oh, whatever. But it's, I don't know, computer industry, it's good. Also, we're on an island, so no one's going to vendor machine anywhere else. And we really only have one competitor here. And they seem to have, they seem to be changing some business practices. I don't like slamming my competition, but their business practices that they're changing, a lot of people don't seem to like them. They don't seem to be putting as much effort into the quality they used to do. So a lot of people coming over to us, and we'll take that money.
That's great. Yeah, I can't complain about... You didn't slam them. You just said maybe they're not, if not doing as good, they're going to come to you. That's good. That's good for you guys. All right. Well, like we do in the show, the guests prepare whatever they want and they can talk about whatever they want. So I'm going to let you roll with it. What do you have for us today?
First thing on my list, Nuts at Night episode a while back, one of the guys said, "What do you do in an infected apple in your shop?"
Wait, say it again. Say it again, Jacob. You're breaking up on me.
Oh, okay. A little while back on a Nuts at Night episode, someone asked what their procedure was for dealing with infected apples in their shop. I don't remember what the answer was, but I thought I'd just give my procedure. And it seems that a lot of technicians don't really have a set procedure. And, I mean, you don't see a lot of infected apples. The first thing, of course, I go to the user properties and check their startup programs. And then I sent you a link to a PDF that's kind of got some of my show notes. It's got a couple links in here.
Did you email it to me, or is it in the forums? Or
In the Skype chat. I can send it again.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one to get to right now. go ahead, talk about it. I'll go ahead and pull it up. Go ahead. Keep talking
here,
about
I'm
it.
I'm going to send it again. Just so it's good. Alrighty. First thing I run, after checking startup programs, which there's usually nothing there except for iTunes Helper or something from their iLife suite, it's a program called Onyx. It's similar to CCleaner, which CCleaner just released a version for Mac. I haven't used it yet. Looking forward to using it. But Onyx, it checks the hard drive permissions, removes temp files, checks the operating system structure. It gives you a pretty good feel of how the computer's doing. And you can configure it enough so you can leave it on the customer's Apple. And where every cleaner program, you could set it up to probably cause a lot of harm. Just remove stuff that they wouldn't want routinely removed. So you can configure it. And it's Apple. Everything easy to install on an Apple, or at least my experience has shown that.
Right.
And then if it's infected, there's three additional things I'll do. First, there's iAntivirus, iAntivirus.com. And somewhere in the Podnos forums, I'll put my show notes on there so everyone can see all these links. I think it's made by the same group that does Spyware Doctor, which I'm not a big fan of that tool, but it's free. And if the Apple is infected, I'll go ahead and throw that on there, scan it, remove it. And then next, I'll install ClamX AV, ClamXAV.com. Again, not one I would leave on their Apple. Not a great quality program, in my opinion.
Okay.
But again, free, throw it on there, scan, with my discretion, remove what it finds. And then the one that the antivirus for Mac that I really like, and I'll leave on any Apple that doesn't already have an active antivirus, it's the Sophos antivirus for Mac. And free. It runs pretty lightweight. Has a very nice user interface. It's super easy for my customers to use, and it's prevented a few repeat customers from coming back. So makes them happy. And then last thing I do is verify the disk permissions. I have a 10.6 Apple installation disk at my shop, so I can have it check the Apple SFC scan. And then lastly, run the Apple software updater, and then just check if they have any Adobe products on there or any third-party applications that have updaters. Skype's never up to date on any of my client's machines. But yeah, that right there, the Apple's running better. It's running better. And it's worked so far. And I mean, I'm I'm starting to get lots of apples, an apple a week brought into the shop.
Really? So an apple a week?
Looking for ways to, it used to be a super rare thing. And they'd be, oh, come to my desk. Look, an apple. Wow, it's so pretty. And now it's, man, we're getting these things in pretty often.
Wow.
Which, hooray, something for new for me to learn with. But also, just interesting. It's people are learning how to break them.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Or whatever.
I was curious to see how that was going to pan out. I mean, were people who buy apples only going to take them to the Apple store or what? So this is, it's good. It's good news, I think.
And no Apple store on this island.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go.
Works out good for us.
But, and you got apples. So, wow. Good for you guys. Well, that's a good little rundown for Apple. I mean, you have pretty much everything that one would do on a PC. You know, you do like a cleanup. Like C Cleaner,
yeah.
It's called Onyx, and then you got three antiviruses, verify disk permissions, get updates. Hey, I mean, sounds pretty, like you got it pretty much covered. It's cool.
Yeah, then usually when we have the time, we run defragler or something on a computer, but I think Apple's actively defragged in the background if the file's less than 20 megs. I read that somewhere, you usually don't have time to defrag it on Apple anyway, but they usually don't need much. There's usually just one thing in the way from keeping an Apple from running pretty great, or unless they just have just too many things running at the same time.
Right.
Most Apple people don't seem to understand rebooting the machine when it starts getting bogged down. Like, what, reboot? I haven't rebooted this thing in months. Oh, okay. It's not how Steve Jobs describes it.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
The machine that the Lord used.
What does he say about it? Because I run, I constantly am putting mine into standby mode. I have apples that I haven't rebooted for quite some time. Only a couple. Let's see, once every 2 months, maybe I'll reboot an Apple. I keep just let it keep running in standby. But I always close my apps out. But what does Steve Jobs say about it?
Yeah, and you're a smart technician. I'm a smart technician. We know how to maintain our machine.
Right.
These people, they'll have three Photoshop projects that they don't open in the background for the past couple of weeks.
Right.
Oh, okay. There's half your resources right there. And then they've got a Skype chat been going. They didn't realize it was going on there. I mean, they just got all these programs going. And a lot of the customers have to show them how to close any running programs. They just have no idea.
So,
and I mean, Apple would,
the whole dock at the bottom of the screen has all little white dots under it, basically.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, they don't make it terribly easy in Apple to close an app out. They really don't. Got to admit.
No, that's an extra step. I would like to not be there. All right, next thing. It's I've titled it Windows Startup Repair. It's useless. So many customer machines. It's not booting, or I install a bad driver and update. And Windows Startup Repair. We'll fix you. And it's never fixed a single issue for me ever. Never.
Really?
I just hope hopefully, I don't know, maybe next service pack of Windows 7 or when Windows 8 is released. They need a major revamp of that tool. Otherwise, it's just a big waste of time, in my opinion.
Now, what does it do, and when do you usually run it?
Well, for some, like how Disk Check used to run, it probably still does, but whenever your system doesn't shut down properly or your system thinks it's having issues, Disk Check will run. And that's never the one that runs automatically. That's never fixed anything for me either. But like, driver goes bad, system tries to reboot, nothing happens. It runs startup repair, and I don't even know what it's checking for. I think what it should do is check your list of startup programs. I check for Windows file integrity violations or something. I have no idea what it looks for, but it doesn't do anything.
And it probably runs forever too, doesn't it? Does it just keep running and running?
Well, it either 30 seconds later, it tells you no violations could be found. Sorry.
Right.
Or 10 minutes down the road, it says couldn't find anything wrong. Try doing a disk check.
Now, you're running it on 7 and Vista? Is that what you're talking about?
Seven and Vista. Well, yeah. I'd like to not run it, but sometimes it won't let you stop it when it's going. Really? So it cannot be canceled. And I know you're not going to find anything. Let me kill you.
That's annoying. Interesting. So it doesn't hardly ever do anything.
Yeah. And anyone listening, if Startup Repair has ever saved the day for you, please let me know. I hate it.
All right, good. We won't talk about it anymore. Block it out of your mind.
All right.
What else? All right, wait, no, but it looks like your next subject is a hateful one too. But I could jump on the bandwagon with you on this.
Kind of. Oh, so all right. Well, here. So, have you got thoughts on GoDaddy? I'd like to hear yours then. I heard Steve D's the other day.
Oh, really? Yeah. I can't stand GoDaddy. It's I don't like how they market their. First of all, I don't like how they market a domain registration service. It's just it. You know, like I said, I like to look at pretty girls, but you know, promoting like partying and scantily clad women and domain registration, they just don't go together. It's not where I want my domains to be. It's like I don't trust the company that would do that with my domains. But the problem was before they started all that crap, I bought a lot of domains with them, and I don't want to transfer them over. And that's the one thing I hate. The second thing I hate is the freaking maze of add-on services they try to slam you with, like,
yes.
Trying to get to
oh
your
my
checkout.
Goodness.
It's almost it's insulting. It's rude. It's just horrible. And that's
it's like
thing.
When
yeah,
it's like when you buy those as seen on TV things. They're not just going to sell you that product. They're going to lead you through this labyrinth of right. Other products they want you to buy.
Exactly.
Oh yeah, it's. So I don't do much with websites. So we just bought our website and we renew it, and that's it. The initial purchasing the website, navigating all that extra crap they wanted to sell you, that was annoying. But so I'm sure there's plenty of reason to hate that. But as far as their technical support goes, whenever we have yes. to call them with an issue, I yeah. love them so much. It's they make it as painless as possible, and they do everything for me every time I call.
Really? How long does it take to get a real person on?
Oh, it's always super quick for me.
Okay. And do they try to sell? Do the technicians try to sell you something when you call? Because I've called for tech support,
no.
And he goes, oh yeah, by the way, there's 3 items in your shopping cart. Would you like to check out? I go, is this tech support?
No. They're always. It's I can't. I wish I could give them 6 out of 5 stars every time I talk to them. But no, they've never tried to sell me anything.
Okay. All right.
So I just want to say that because GoDaddy gets a lot of hate on this show.
Wow.
Yeah, I want to let everyone know their technical support is good.
They do. But hey, I got to give props to HostGator too, or podnuts.com/HostGator. I even called HostGator one time and he goes, you're from Podnuts? He's like, I like Podnuts. This was the tech support guy. Podnuts listeners. Podnuts listeners work at HostGator. I could actually almost say that in fact. Yeah, but that's the main. As far as GoDaddy stability, I never had a problem with them as far as their service. The domains are rock solid and they work every time. But just the other crap that they pile on, that's what I don't like about GoDaddy. But I'm glad you brought a varying viewpoint on GoDaddy. It's very good of you.
And I've heard you mention HostGator a lot. And if for some reason we were to switch, they'd definitely be my top consideration from listening to Podnuts. So.
Okay, cool.
All right. Next thing, on episode 309, I don't know if it was you're talking to a fellow from London, someone across the big puddle, but they're talking about how with their business, start with higher prices and then work them a little bit lower. And I thought that was weird. And I don't know if most of the people in here were necessarily agreeing when they were hearing that, but I don't know. Just what I think is the standard model is starting low, raking the people in, and then work your prices up as your service gets better, as you're able to manage your quality better. I don't know. What's your opinion on as far as starting prices and as time goes on?
Well, I guess the argument with starting your prices low is then that your customers get used to the low prices, and when you raise them, it's like an uproar. But that being said, I ran my business for a couple years on really low prices. And that's how I think I got a lot of people. They saw my sign for like $79 computer repair and they came in based off of that. I never tried to do it the other way, so I don't know which way is better. I did the low route, and you work harder because you do more jobs to make more money, but you get more people. So if you get, if you're able to crank out in volume and sustain yourself, like, you know, I was a single guy, had not many bills. I was doing fine, so it didn't really bother me. But for somebody who's got like three kids to feed and they're working their butt off and they can't make enough money to do that at, with their low prices, I don't know. It might be a different story, and I don't know how they would fare, but I did the low price route and it worked for me. So,
oh, okay. Yeah. I guess I didn't take that into thought. Yeah. The person's, yeah, single, kids, married, blah, 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 all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that we're going, we try every 6 months to go through our price list and just constant scrutiny and revision, and we always laugh when we look at what we were charging before, and man, we'd be out of business so fast if we went back to those rates.
right. Yeah. As you do more and more jobs and you're in business and you see that you're working your butt off, the technicians start to say to themselves, I need to make more money, and they do raise their rates, but it gets to, they have to get to that point first before they're comfortable doing that. How long have you guys been in business? Just let me ask that.
Almost 2 years exactly.
Good.
It's starting out, that was our big thing. Cheapest rates in town.
Right.
And then just raised them by little bits every few months. And people just came to appreciate our service better than everyone else. And, I mean, no one complains about our prices.
I think you have a workable system there. I mean, if that's what you did and it's working, that's good information. That's really good information. Yeah, I kind of went that route too, but that's just because I thought that was my only, I wanted to do something apart from the others. And like I said, I didn't have a lot of bills, so I knew I could charge less. And that was my way of undercutting the competition. And it worked for me too, but I don't know if everybody can be in that boat, but it's workable. It's a workable solution. Interesting. Good stuff.
All righty. And then next, I've got just a tiny little Internet Explorer 10. I've been reading and there's a few websites. It's probably just a very big rumor, but I think it's something that definitely will be implemented. But it looks like they're going to be slowly engaging sandboxing in Internet Explorer 10. And not sandboxing entirely like Sandboxy does, which I totally love that program. Okay. Use it just about every day. But I don't know, just sandboxing certain aspects of the web browser. And I just think it's really cool that the company with the most money is starting to get into sandboxing like this. So hopefully we'll be seeing that in more Microsoft products.
Now, what are you saying? You said in your notes, you say you think it'll help for a while. In small print, you wrote that. Why do you think it'll help for a while?
My friends know me from my disclaimers. I think for a bit, you know, all of us who keep our machines up to date or trying the newer stuff, or we're kind of forcing the newer stuff on our customers when they bring it into our shops, I think it'll definitely help them out. And I mean, I think there's still some people using Internet Explorer 6 out there. Mm-hmm. I don't. You or someone on the show had a link to a website, and it was to help get rid of Internet Explorer 6 once and for all.
Right.
But there's some people out there with some really unsecure setups, but I don't know. This will come out. People will still be using 7 and 8 and 9, which I really love 9.
Yeah.
Everything 8 should have been.
You really love IE, huh? Why?
I like IE. I use Firefox. That's my primary web browser. Right. And when I need to do something really quick, hop on Chrome, because Chrome just, it whoops them all, in my opinion, as far as speed goes. Mm-hmm. But IE9, it's so much more responsive. Like, even opening a blank new tab in Internet Explorer 8, it can take a whole second or two. And that doesn't work for me. Can't do that.
So
9, it's pretty responsive.
Now, do you use it just because you know your customers are, or what? Because you said you're using Firefox, yes, and you think Chrome is the best. So why would you even touch 9?
It mainly because of my customers. Okay. A lot of my customers don't want to try a new web browser. Now, I always recommend it. And a lot of them, if I think they're up to kind of figuring out a new web browser, I'll leave Firefox on their desktop. Chrome, I think, is great for the more tech-savvy people, but it just looks so much different than all the other web browsers. I think it would scare a lot of the people.
I agree. Yeah. So when is 10 supposed to come out?
I have not seen a date.
And are people going to be able to use this sandboxing or what? I mean, is it going to be a button that confuses people more or what?
It looks like something that's actually going to be built into it, like a Adobe Reader X. It's got kind of in the background sandboxing implemented. I think it sandboxes links, HTML links inside of documents automatically, and it doesn't tell you about it.
That's interesting. And it's I think smart too.
That some of the and it's as long as it doesn't stop people from as long as people aren't losing content they download from the internet onto their computer. It can't hurt. And I think that either Office 2010 or they're planning on it soon has some very limited sandboxing in it as well. If it's not 100% sure about the origin of the file or if it's a file from the internet, it runs with some sandboxing in the background. So I think sandboxing is a huge new thing that's going to be upcoming in computer security.
I do too. I mean, it looks like that's the trend, right? I haven't used Adobe Reader in so long because I've used Foxit. So Adobe Reader actually does sandboxing now?
Adobe Reader X, it's been out for a few months, I think. And the first thing, not the first thing, but it's up there high on the list. When I'm, even if I'm just working on someone's email at their house, if I don't see Adobe Reader X on there, if I see 9 or 8 or 7 back before they had the numbers, Adobe Reader X gets slapped on there, and they're always happy. I tell them, "Oh, it's a lot more secure. It's not the quickest PDF reader out there, definitely, and it's way too bloated for my taste, but it's very secure."
What is it up to now? Like 5 gigs to download or something?
Oh my goodness! It's like HP printer drivers, just too fat.
Damn, they're still on that swing, are they? Even the HP drivers.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. It's amazing. All right. Internet Explorer 10. Duly noted. What else you got?
Yes. Let me. Shame we don't have video up. It doesn't matter. I've posted links to this on Podnuts, and I'm a little bit more active on the TechNibble forums. That's where I first discovered computer tech forums.
Okay. What do you want to show? Because we are still showing video. It's just your video is not coming through. I have your I have your notes here.
Okay. I've just seen a still of your beautiful face on Skype. So,
so what do you want to show?
Down on my tools map, which again I'll put a link to it in the forums. But it's on filedropper.com/tools_chq_5. And I'm going to open
you and
it
your file dropper site
here.
All right. Guys, I have to do a CAPTCHA to get his file. Do the CAPTCHA.
I'm sorry.
PC. Download now. Sign up for free trial. Spam, spam, spam. All right, here we go.
Oh, do you see all that? Are you getting advertised?
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, here we go.
I need to stop using advertising blockers because I tell people to go to some of these sites and they're like, "Oh, there's just advertisements everywhere." And I'm like, "Really? Oh, crap. Yeah, that's right. I got ad block enabled."
That makes sense. Wow, what is this contraption of things and lines here? What is this?
So I don't remember when I started doing this, but originally we just had like 3 or 4 folders. Antivirus, miscellaneous. It was just... It didn't work for me. So I started... I've got a whole bunch of different versions of this, but this is my latest one. And it just... Everything's categorized. And this is what it looks like on my thumb drive. You open it up. There's my malware folder, hardware folder, miscellaneous folder, test folder. Then it gets broken down more and more and more and more. So each of these bubbles represents a folder on my thumb drive. And I like to share this on the Podnuts and TechNibble forums because it's helped a few people out. And,
this is crazy.
I mean, if nothing else, it might give them an idea for some tools if they're not using them right now.
What did you use to make this graph?
It's called FreeMind, and the logo looks like a pretty little butterfly. It's a completely free Java-based. It's called a mind map, and super easy. And it's easy to export into just any picture format you want or into a PDF. I have a lot of fun upkeeping this, and I like just going through, seeing how I can categorize it even better. I try to keep a printout of this near my desk. So if I'm on site and I'm trying to think of a tool, I can just say, call the shop, check this out. Where's this one tool? And they can just breeze through it at my desk. But yeah, it's a lot of fun making, and it's just nice to have everything organized just the way I like it at my shop.
So this is basically a map of your thumb drive.
Yep.
Very cool. That's quite interesting. Really neat. So where could people get this? Because I think people definitely would. I can't do it justice just showing it on the screen here. Where could people get it?
I don't remember if I started a thread or if I just joined someone else's thread. If nothing else, I'll make a thread in the PubNuts forum. I'll just do that. I'll just make a fresh new thread. Tools drive map. And then I like to give links to people with a PNG version, just a lot cleaner than a JPEG, and then a PDF version, which you can print this thing the size of a billboard if you wanted to with a PDF. I'll start a thread with this guy in here. It's any way for me to give back to the two communities, PodNuts and TechNibble, that have helped me out so much.
That's cool.
In my computer venture.
Well, that's great, man. Yeah, definitely. This is a great way to give back. And plus, what you're doing now by coming on the show is a great way to give back. Cool, man. That is pretty neat. Guys, got to check that out. It's very, it's the coolest way I've seen of showing the contents of a thumb drive. And I think it could be quite helpful. Good stuff, man. All right.
And then, how are we running with time? I know it hasn't been too long.
We're about 30 minutes in, but don't worry. You're doing good. Just let it flow.
Okay, well, I'm kind of on my last official notes. Then I guess if you have questions or if you can just hit me with some topics. But the next chunk of my notes, well, the final chunk of my notes, is I've called it Tools I've Recently Come to Adore. And it's not my favorite tools that I have, but ones that I've recently discovered that have just made my life a lot easier. The first one is FBackup. It's fbackup.com. It is such an incredibly easy, smooth running automated backup tool. And I was ready to fork out $50 or a monthly fee to use it, but it's totally free. The guy seems to keep it regularly updating, and the updates actually have pretty useful fixes with them or neat additional features. It's super easy to set up, especially if you know anything about computers. And it verifies the backups after it makes them, which you can choose if for some reason you're on a time crunch with your backups or whatever, you can disable it. And then you just open the program, and the first page it shows you, it'll tell you whether or not the last set of backups went through and were verified successfully or not. The only thing bad I can really think about it is I wish it would schedule more inside of the program instead of using the instead of using the scheduled tasks with Windows.
Is that what it does?
With Windows 7. Yeah, but it works. I've yet to see it not go through with its schedule. And I used to use a program, I think it was called Second Copy. And I was setting that up on people's computers, a $20, $30 program. And it did its job well, but it just had kind of a convoluted interface. And it's something my customers were just too terrified to ever touch. Which, hey, great, I got to come to their house and work on it. But I hate throwing a program on someone's computer and then they feel trapped and like they have to pay me to come and work on it. I feel kind of mean doing something. But this FBackup program, it's super easy. And if they're on the phone, if they have any questions, I can just say, double click on the little robot icon in the corner of your screen. Okay. Is the text red or green in the middle? And if they say whatever they say there, I know if it's working or not. And it's so easy to set up, especially if you're a computer technician. So I would recommend anyone who's recommending backup programs to their clients, or they have clients set up with a particular backup program, put FBackup up for consideration. Awesome program, and it'll take a lot for me to switch from it.
Really? That looks pretty cool. Always good to hear about some new backup programs. Good one.
Yes, and that's a very important thing nowadays. More important than antivirus is what I tell my customers.
That's a good point.
Gotta have a backup.
Definitely.
Next one, it's a program, and it's a portable executable, or executable. You don't have to install it. It's Viper Rescue, and it's live.sunbeltsoftware.com. They update this thing, it seems, just about every day, every other day, and it finds stuff that some of my other scanners just completely bypass sometimes. It takes a really, really long time to scan with it. And it doesn't have a built-in updater, which is annoying. So every time I'm going through updating my tools drive, I have to go to that website, download that 80 meg file. So it's pretty often, but it's some of the weird stuff that it finds sometimes, it's totally worth it. And and sometimes where Malwarebytes won't run or SuperNSSpy won't run, well, the portable one usually runs when other ones have problems, but this Viper Rescue, it's always ran for me.
And it's a command line utility.
Yeah.
Do you run it from inside Windows, or do you run it from like a bootable CD, or what?
I've ran it from inside Windows. Okay. I wouldn't doubt if it wouldn't be too hard to like run it from a live disk. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow, that's a good
one.
Then
my last. Yeah, I really like it. It's, and again, for the stuff that it finds and the, I guess everybody keeps their antivirus tools pretty up to date. But it's kind of more geared at the harder to remove stuff, rootkits, some of the more bizarre trojans or packaged in malware.
Right.
It definitely, I don't know, not something you'd want to run often. Just run it once. If you find something awesome, then my system's usually working fine after that. And if it doesn't, it just took a lot of time. But it's a good, nice little second opinion tool.
Yeah, I think that's cool.
And then my last tool that I've started using recently that I've heard people mention a lot are these rescue CDs that the antivirus companies make. And started out, I used to be pretty gung-ho for AVG. Definitely doesn't seem as robust protection as it used to be,
right.
But still some customers, if they want something other than Microsoft Security Essentials or other than Norton or McAfee, which you couldn't pay me enough to recommend McAfee to anybody, or McAfee. I forget the right way to say it, but it's so AVG has this rescue CD, and it's as easy as it gets as far as running a scan. Every time I've had a infection cripple a machine to where it can't boot, the AVG rescue disk always gets that machine booting again. And it updates from the disk. It's just virtually running, so it's not making any changes to your operating system except for getting rid of the files you mark for deletion. I just really like that guy.
How fast does it scan? Does it scan pretty fast?
I'd say it's kind of comparable to the Viper Rescue. Average scan is at least an hour, which sometimes it depends on what's going with my system. If my main terminal that I do my work on, it's making a backup, or I'm doing a low level format or something, so I can't just take the hard drive out of the computer and scan it externally like that, that's when I would use a rescue disk. So I don't use the AVG rescue disk too often, but when I'm not able to take the hard drive out, I just slap that in there, and again, it always gets it back into booting condition for me.
Yeah, that's a great thing to have. I mean, you gotta have something that gets you at least started. Good one. Yeah. I didn't know how well the AVG rescue disk worked, but yeah, like you said, a lot of antivirus companies are coming out with stuff like that. I think didn't SuperNSSpyware come out with some kind of non-installable program? And yeah, that looks like another trend. Kaspersky has one too, don't they?
Yeah, and I hear a lot of people say great things about the Kaspersky one.
Yeah,
I've never seen Kaspersky in my shop. I've never seen a machine with it on there, which. Sure. Probably says a lot for Kaspersky, but I've never gotten to monkey around with it, so I don't know whether the thumbs up, thumbs down, but I hear a lot of technicians give it a lot of praise.
It's coming on strong, and now there's commercials for it and stuff. I mean,
have you seen the Jackie Chan one?
No, actually, I don't think I have.
Oh, it's goofy. You just, I don't know. I don't know if he's supposed to, it's supposed to be in the internet, but he's just in this, all these tubes and stuff. He's putting on his Kaspersky helmet and
is it good?
Or something. It's pretty cheesy, but
let's check it out.
I mean, oh yeah.
I'll play it now. Let's see if I get some sound going through this baby. Jackie Chan. Here we go.
Yes, it's a great place to go, but it can be dangerous. Do you want to check it out?
Huh?
Take this.
He's got a Kaspersky helmet.
This is it.
I'll tell you when you get back.
He's on a Segway. That's pretty cheesy. I mean, it's pretty. Some of the moves he does on that Segway is pretty cool, but it's pretty cheesy.
Oh yeah, totally.
You know, he's such a great, amazing martial artist, and the flexibility and stuff is great. But he's the worst actor ever. I mean, he just can't act. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Oh yeah. His fighting is awesome. I love how he uses the environment to pwn everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Cool. All right. Let me see. Is that, you got anything else? Let me see. Look at your notes here.
At the end of my notes.
That's good. They were great notes, man. Very well done. I got a couple emails here. Let me, and a voicemail. So I might as well play that now. But no, you brought
sweet,
really good stuff. I appreciate it. All right, let's see. We got, looks like a voicemail from Door to Door Geek. Let me see. Yes, here it is.
Hello, Timster, Steve. Podcast Bailey. Here is my Togo tip. I tell the customer, give me your cell phone number. Because everybody in the universe now has a cell phone number. And I text them the URL for join.potogo.com, and in that same text, I text them the ID number. So there can be no disconnect. They have to be able to do that right. And if they can't, I'm not going to service their computer because I know they will have endless questions. But I will check out join.me. It sounds good, especially the Android stuff. There's no reason why I couldn't offer Android support, because most of it's pretty simple, pretty easy for like $50-$60. But if I listen to Tech Adventures, I'll say $85. Okay, guys. Tim, thanks for keeping up the great show. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Thanks, Dor. Dor always was, it seems, a remote support guy. So he's always looking, it seems like he's always looking for new ways to get people like online and working on remotely. So join.me looks like it's pretty good. Makogo's good. What do you use for remote, Jacob?
We're going to be purchasing the full TeamViewer setup real soon.
Oh, cool.
I love their program. Shamefully, we've been using the free. So we try to reboot the machine after we're done as constantly as possible. Get rid of that thank you for playing fair message.
Oh man,
I die a little inside every time someone reads that back to me.
I love how you say that publicly on the podcast. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's and I know probably half the people listening do it too.
Yes, so they're all laughing and saying, yeah, I know what he's talking about. And then there's that one TeamViewer employee who's sitting there all pissed off.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
I think we tried out Makogo a little bit.
Yeah.
It's missing just a few features that would allow us to fully use it. TeamViewer, I found nothing that comes close to it, but it is just so darn expensive.
Really? Really? How much is it?
I'd have to look, but it's At least to...
Don't worry about it.
Let me see if I can find that. So what was the premise of that voicemail?
It was referring to an earlier show. I think the show we did with Makogo was on, and somebody I think called in or wrote in about Makogo to Tim on Podnuts Daily, and then Dore had a retort for that. So, So check out the price on that, and we'll go get it a little bit later. This is from Jim. He says, Steve, have you seen this? It's a site called GeekBuddy.com. I went to GeekBuddy.com, and it's basically, need instant PC support? Your GeekBuddy can remotely fix your computer while you watch. GeekBuddy will be available with these retailers, Amazon, Walmart, Fry's, Newegg, PC Mall, Circuit City, CompUSA, Tiger Direct. Basically, it looks like with a single mouse click, you will be chatting with your Geek Buddy, available 24/7, 365. I was reading that, and it scrolled away. 24/7, 365 to assist you and address your PC problems. Looks like a program that just basically sets you straight up with remote support. I hope it's not too easy for all of our sake. What do you think about something like that?
I've come across this before, and I really should have looked into it more. I don't know. Yay, hopefully easy technical support for the company using this. Good for them. But is it secure? Who's on the other end? I don't know. I'd be really nervous just going to this company here and say, yeah, hop on my computer, do what you want.
Well, they do it with regular old computer repair technicians. You know, as this gains traction.
No, that's true.
Yeah. I think as this gains traction and people start to realize GeekBuddy is reputable, if that ever does happen, it might be a little scary because if it's going to be in all these retailers, and somebody goes to Walmart, the guy there recommends, oh, use this GeekBuddy thing. We have it on the shelf. And they go home and plug it in or they load it up remote support. It's another alternative from them. I guess, you know, you either search on the internet to find computer repair guys. I don't know how many people still use a phone book, or you go out and find a piece of software like this. So I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah, and the computer repair sphere is constantly changing. Like the cloud, especially in this show, it's getting mentioned more and more.
Yes.
It's one of those things. It's going to happen. So we have to figure out how to make that work with our business, whether that means more on the work more on the networking side or the hardware side, whatever. I don't know. I still think, especially in this town, it's someone sitting at their computer here in Ketchikan. Oh, my computer, it's doing this. And again, small town, you or your friend know somebody. And this is how almost all my clients introduce themselves when they come to the shop. I'll sit there and my computer broke. And my friends said, there's Computer HQ up in the mall, or HQ Computers, as half of them say. I hate it when they say that. but it's someone in the room says, oh, hey, there's a computer repair shop in the mall. Take it in there. And I don't know, if putting myself in their shoes, they can come into the shop, talk to me, ask a lot of questions, kind of get a feel for if they trust me or not, and then they can bring the computer in. Whereas with this program, it's could be some kid in a basement in India somewhere. And I'm not dissing it. It's probably a great program, great company, and if all those big stores are using it, they probably looked into it a little bit because they're kind of attaching their name to it. But yeah, maybe it's just one of those things where if that gets more popular, well, I guess I'll have to start stocking more hardware in the store or something.
I have to adapt. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be a threat, at least for a while, to be honest, because I think you have good points there.
I don't think so either.
Good. All right, this next one is from Al. He says, aside from the website builder and TechNibbles computer business kit, what do I need to start my own business? Do I need to be a sole proprietor, LLC, corporation? How do I know when it's time to become a business and not just making a few bucks on the side? Wow, Al, this is a really broad question. I think it's a good idea to become a corporation as soon as possible. I mean, I never did, but from what I hear, it doesn't take much work, and it pretty much protects you And you won't get slammed on taxes as well for being a sole proprietor as badly. So that's another good thing. I guess it depends how much money you're making with this, Al. If you're making more than over $1,000 a month, maybe you really start looking into like, okay, I do have a legitimate business doing this now, you know, and then start looking at that kind of thing. It's a pretty broad question. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with you. It's kind of look at how much money you're making. It's with me and my partner, we didn't really look at the money side of things. It's just, you know, let's make this official. And I mean, on top of just making us look more professional, more approachable, like let's just do it. Let's become a business. Get a storefront and a repair area and everything. And I mean, just your business, you've got that license hanging on the wall or people see your big old sign. I mean, it just makes you so much more attractive. So on top of probably just that'll bring in more revenue. If you're making so much money a month, and I think there's a lot of room for making mistakes as far as taxes go, or maybe what your state or city laws entail. So becoming a business just throws a little bit of protection on you. Me and Kyle with Computer HQ, we're just a partnership. So kind of like our personal finances and legalities are all tied into the business. And before too long, we're going to become a limited liability corporation, which will be a nice bit of protection for us individually. And I also hear that taxes wise, it's not too shabby as well.
Right. It definitely does give you some breaks, which is much needed. I mean, in Pennsylvania and here, you really do get slammed on sole proprietor to be a sole. Well, anywhere in the U.S., the federal taxes really get slammed as being a sole proprietor. So even up there in Canada,
yeah.
No, I'm just kidding with you. Al, yeah, that's a good question. But as far as getting the some assistance in starting your business, yeah, the tech website builder, Tech Nimble Business Kit is good stuff. Like I said before, I went out, I had my car, a screwdriver, and a pack of CDs, and that was basically just went out and started doing jobs. So start with whatever you got. I mean, you know, you just need a brain, you know, and a couple tools, and just go out and start doing jobs. And then when you start feel like this is becoming a legitimate business, you'll know that point, I think. And then you start looking at how do I legitimize myself? And, you know, you have also as a bonus what Jacob said, as you become more legitimate, people recognize that and will feel more secure. And then you just jazz up your whole business bit by bit. So you have a shop in the mall, huh, Jacob?
Yeah, second story in the Plaza Mall here in Ketchikan. We started out downtown. There's the Ketchikan, and there's downtown Ketchikan. Well, the jewelry stores, the tourists roam about and play around. We started down there in the summer so we could grab all that tourism. Also, it wasn't too bad of a location because a lot of the locals here, they hate going into town when the tourists are here. It's like Disneyland. It's you're bumping against people. They're walking in the street and they're always taking pictures of our sign that we have that's in the middle of one of our main roads. So just the tourists slow everything down. So the locals don't like going downtown during the summer.
Okay.
So our first location was kind of on the outskirts of downtown. It was close enough to the tourists to get their business, but far away enough from the tourists to get the locals' business. And then after a while, we started getting a little too big for that spot, and it's just a few things about it were becoming an inconvenience. So yeah, we moved to it's pretty much the only mall, and it has the only fast food restaurant, or McDonald's, here as well.
Oh,
so
gosh.
It's a lot of foot traffic in this place. So just it's that wonderful corporate word, synergy. There's a lot of synergy here in the mall. And it's someone walks over to our $1.29 store and they may stop by and walk and check out our shop as well.
Right.
Or someone's coming to pay their utility bill. They may see our sign and stop on by. So it's we all help each other out here in the mall.
That's cool. I would love to have a shop in the mall. Go ahead.
Would you say, kind of going back to this guy's question, mm-hmm. would you say there was like a light bulb moment where you're like, oh, becoming a business, or did you, I don't know if you can like ease into it, but what was the main thing that made you decide to go business, go pro?
Well, I actually never did like form a corporation, but my main light bulb.
Oh, okay.
My main light bulb, and I should have. I was confused by the tax laws, and I did not want to confront the tax laws and the whole idea of becoming a corporation. I didn't want to confront the terms and the paperwork and all that stuff, and so I didn't. That's my only reason for doing it. I just did not want to confront it. So I'm like, I'm doing fine just now. I'll do it tomorrow. It was always, I'll do it tomorrow. but my light bulb moment where I felt kind of legit was when I got my shop. You know, when you have a shop and you have a sign up and you're in a place on a street and you're a business, then you start looking at it a little different, I think.
Yeah. Tim, is he registered and everything, or does he just have his shop home set up?
I'm not even sure. That's a good question. We'll have to answer.
So I was thinking this might be a very good question for him.
Yeah. You see, I come on, and then there's stuff I can't even answer. but yeah, we got to ask him that. And if anybody has any other input on that, send us an email. If you want to send an email to the show, send it to mail@podnuts.com. We will get it. We will read it. We will play it. No, voicemails we'll play. If we want to send a voicemail, call 7076-PODNUT, just like Dor did, and call up, leave a voicemail. We'll play that as well. Jacob, what would you like to say? Anything else that we missed or any remaining comments before we end off?
Well, going tiny little thingy, the team viewer, it's about $1,500. Anyone interested?
Okay.
Anyone
for
that much
what,
money?
A year?
I just closed the window.
Don't worry about it.
No, I think you have it, and then you got to pay for upgrades that come out later. You get a nice discount, but still, that's a lot of money for a small business.
Yeah.
But nope, nothing really to add.
Well, tell us where people can find
it. I say a big thank you to. Well, you can find me at our business's website is comphq.net, and then my name on the Podnuts and the TechNibble forum is JBob.
And you were going to say a big thank you to.
Not terribly active. Big thank you to the people of Podnuts. You guys are super cool, super smart, and I love listening to the show. Throughout the day, I have security now and Podnuts playing in the shop.
Cool.
And so
cool.
Educating everybody.
Awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I also thank everybody who contributes to the show, and I'm glad we get the information out to you and help you like we helped Jacob. So if you want to give back, come on the show. You can go to podnuts.com/guest. You can come on Podnuts Daily and give us information. Or like I said, send us emails, send us voicemails, and we'll all help each other. All right, Jacob, well, thanks again for coming on the show. Thank you, everybody, for watching, listening, and streaming, and we'll see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily provided by Evan King at purevolume.com/EvanKing.